Lawrence Wolf, Esquire, has been a criminal attorney for over 35 years. He represents defendants accused in criminal matters, ranging from drunk driving to sexual abuse. He not only defends them, but he helps them to put their lives back together. He has used the art of the brochure to promote his practice. Today, in this interview with Ed Pohl, he relates how his focus with the brochure has changed over the years from attracting clients to attracting those who can refer clients. More information about Larry can be seen at www.youareinnocent.com.
Larry, thanks for joining us today. I look forward to our discussion.
Oh, thanks, Ed. And happy holidays to you.
Well, thank you, and same to you and to all of your clients, by the way.
Yeah, those which can hear us.
Right. I'd like to ask you this just as a prelude to describe the nature of your practice for our listeners.
Well, my practice is exclusively really dedicated to criminal law and the resolution of problems for individuals who are faced with criminal offenses, both in the state and federal court. That ends up being a wide range of situations, from individuals who family members may be faced with a drunk driving charge to instances where perhaps large sums of money have been taken by an employee or some type of act of physical violence has occurred, either in the domestic violence sense or often between individuals that, and most, more often than not, know each other.
That's an interesting plethora of clients.
It's a living.
It's a living, yes. And one of the things that I know that you do to market, to let people know of your existence and the skills that you bring to the table, is that you have developed a brochure. And I know that you've developed more than one over the years, the last one of which I saw was, I think, personally, the best brochure I've seen anybody create. And the question I have for you is, why did you first think you needed a brochure? You're dealing with a certain element in our society, or elements, perhaps is a better way of saying it, some of whom will never read a brochure, and others of whom are going to use the Internet exclusively. What's the need for a brochure?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you for the compliment. Secondly, it's really been an evolution. The idea of a brochure probably started 15 years ago, and the first focus audience of the brochure was the client themselves. And the reason it was pertinent to those individuals is because information was provided to them regarding situations that they may face, what to do when arrested, what to do when asked a question by a police officer, and emergency numbers, as well as referral source information for them for access to different type of treatment facilities. From that point, it sort of evolved into a hybrid of a brochure that would both be informative to the individual client, but at the same time access those referral sources that were developing in my practice from other attorney sources. That brochure ended up having that original information, but it also was focused towards other attorneys in other disciplines in terms of what they should look for or how they should advise their client in situations where they're being confronted by law enforcement. And as time developed, it seemed that certainly the type of referrals, the quality of referrals, the value of the individual referrals all tended to be more skewed towards the referral from the attorney source versus the client themselves. And consequently, the brochure also tended to evolve into a brochure which was more directed exclusively to the attorney, or I should say to the attorney referral source. And that's really where it is today. And that brochure does focus on other disciplines, individuals such as family law attorneys who often are confronted with clients who have been charged with violations in the course of their representation during the divorce proceedings, either for a domestic violence situation or far too often a situation where allegations may be made regarding child molesting that are often brought up by the opposing counsel to argue for custody and for ability to really flavor their case.
Or even violation of restraining orders.
Exactly.
And if somebody really gets very much depressed over what they see as their life falling apart, perhaps even drunk driving.
Exactly. And similarly, that goes towards individuals with business attorneys who have clients who have end up misappropriated funds, to individuals who are personal injury attorneys whose clients may be involved in a traffic accident that also involves a hit and run or a drunk driving.
So in other words, you've gone through a number of iterations, and just as a side note, over the 30 or 35 years that you've been practicing, how many years have you had a brochure, and how many iterations, if you remember, have you gone through?
I think the first one was probably around 15 years ago, and I would say that there have been about four different models all evolving into what we have developed as the final model.
So the current model of the brochure is really oriented toward those who might be what we would call gatekeepers or people who could make a referral to you with people that they know, as opposed to the client themselves.
Exactly. It's geared towards convincing that gatekeeper not only of my background and testimonials, but also how they can assist their own client with information.
Now, is this your primary marketing investment?
You know, as of, I would say it's my second most. Certainly, internet still maintains number one in terms of dollars. But in terms of written brochures or written products, that's certainly my main focus.
And in the process that you went through, perhaps to create your first brochure as opposed to your current brochure, just to help those who might be listening and do not currently have a brochure, perhaps you could describe the process that you went through. I mean, did you design it? Did you create it? Did you turn it over completely to some graphics artist? Or what was the process that you went through?
Well, being an attorney, it's hard to completely turn over control. And on top of that, as I am a very artistic kind of guy. In fact, I'm an abstract artist.
So you're not artistically challenged.
Right. And
okay.
So I love not only the aspect of marketing as a concept, but I also love the ability to design the marketing piece. So the good news is I love to do it. The bad news is there tends to be far more tweaks that end up being done by perhaps someone who's less involved.
Well, the good news is that you're good at it. The bad news is that you're good at it.
Exactly.
Because, at least from my perspective, there are only two things that a lawyer should be doing. One is marketing for new business, and that's not creating a brochure necessarily. That, to me, is like puttering around
sure.
in a garden.
Right.
And the second thing is obviously doing the legal work.
Yeah.
So if you didn't do it yourself, perhaps you could describe for us the process that our listeners might consider best for them.
Sure. Well, first of all, I didn't do it all myself, by no means. It's more just I had a active participation in it.
Sort of like Steve Jobs developing the Apple, huh?
Yeah. You know, Steve called me just before he passed to ask me some questions. I did have a graphic artist, and I did have a individual who assisted me with the copy as well. And what the concept was that the graphic artist came up with as the first generation was a piece that was approximately 3 inches by about 5 inches. And it was double-sided, and the purpose was for it to be able to fit within someone's coat pocket. And the idea of that was that it would be something that would be basically too big to be thrown away immediately. At least the person would have to wait till they're out of my eyesight before they could destroy the piece. So often the piece would end up in their coat pocket, and at least with the hope that they would look at it later. And I think that the size was significant. And the reason I think the size was significant was it did make it easy for the individual to take it and place it within somewhere where they could hold it without it being too bulky and having to put it down or be concerned with putting it down.
Now, how did that compare with something like a trifold number 10 envelope size?
I think that the reason I went that way was because it was less bulky than the trifold. The trifold that I've seen and that actually I've used tend to be certainly a much lower thickness of paper. And obviously that's because of the practical need to be able to fold it. If you do a trifold, obviously with a bigger thickness, it becomes more bulky. This way I could use a heavy paper, a heavy cardstock, and at the same time not be concerned with the bulkiness of it because it was a single sheet.
So if I hear you correctly, your primary focus was on the user and the user's use of that brochure, sort of like a speaker wanting to know the nature of his or her audience and speaking to their needs, not his skills or his wants, rather than, in the case of the brochure, the printer. You were concerned more about the user than the printer. Am I correct?
Sure. Completely.
Okay. That's something that our listeners need to keep in mind, is how this product that they create or want to create is going to be used.
Yeah, it is. I found it to be invaluable in terms of the size of the piece and thinking, again, of how that person, once they receive it, what they're going to do with it. My first piece also had a tear-off business card at the bottom, so with significant material and information on it as well, with the hope that, you know, if they didn't want to take the whole piece, at least they would keep the business card.
Well, with such what I would perceive a successful start, what made you reinvent the brochure and then reinvent it again and again to come up with your current version? What were the factors that made you change each version?
You know, I think just creative need to expand more than anything else.
You had nothing more to do that day, huh?
Yeah, well, it really, you know, I don't have any doubt that a great extent of my energy was valuable for my creative juices. I can't really say that it equated to an equal amount of financial resources, but I enjoyed it, you know, and, you know, for me that was critical.
Well, in the process of creating the several iterations, did you do anything different along the way in one process from another process?
I did. I you know, certainly feedback was the biggest thing that made me make any changes. And primarily that often ended up being in the copy more than the design. You know, I think I was always getting feedback from individuals, either solicited or unsolicited, regarding the brochure and what they thought and some of their feedback. And I often got feedback regarding the copy and their often inability to necessarily connect to some of the verbiage. And so that was the main change. Also with that, as I previously indicated in terms of the focus group being first the client and then the final form being for the referral source. As an example, you know, one of my first taglines was, we focus on getting your case dismissed, and the final derivation is now we focus on getting your client's case dismissed. So again, I think the copy has been the most significant change in terms of value. The rest, the design has been gorgeous, and I think, again, it is perhaps the prettiest brochure I've ever seen as well. I just, my thought was hoping that the design in and of itself would be a creative nudge for other attorneys. The reality is, though, most other attorneys don't really care about creativity that much, and consequently they're more into the content than the design.
Well, the design clearly is interesting. I wouldn't say unique, but it's quite beautiful. And yes, it's a piece that one would want to keep as an exemplar. And I love the way you talk about solicited and unsolicited feedback, because I made the mistake, which I think led to this conversation, of giving you some unsolicited feedback, for which I duly apologize.
Well,
because
your apology accepted, and I wouldn't call it a mistake. I would just, you know, obviously there was, you felt comfortable saying what you said, and I felt comfortable you saying what you said. So I don't think you need to be concerned with that.
It's like a speaker getting unsolicited feedback. Nobody wants that.
Right.
But in any event, you're very gracious, and thank you. In terms of using the brochure now, your current version focused on referral business, how is it that you're using that? I know from personal experience with you that we're in a networking group, and you talk about it. But aside from that particular group, how is it that you're using the brochure? What kinds of things would you suggest our listeners consider in using a brochure that they might have?
Sure. I really still use it, or I do use it in very varied fashion. One is always in terms of thank yous. To individuals who have made referrals. I'm you know, amazed of how many referrals I will make and never hear from the individual even the slightest thank you. It's my policy to you know, thank you from the beginning to the end. And it starts with usually a letter, and attached to that letter is, you know, usually my brochure. It culminates in a present, if you refer a case, but that being said, the brochure goes out at the very beginning. I also tend to give MCLE classes, which are legal classes for attorneys who need units, and I'm able to use my brochure as a handout at those occasions. I also, at times, do different trade conferences or speak at trade conferences and are able to hand out my brochure at that time. And again, I mean, I'm proud of my brochure, and I think that it's sort of icing on the cake at the conclusion of one of my presentations.
Well, what is the general cost?
It's about a buck and a quarter a piece, which is expensive.
Okay, that's for your current version.
Correct.
All right, so every time you're giving that out, it's costing you a dollar plus.
Totally.
And
the reason it is...
And that doesn't include your own creativity.
Well, exactly. But the reality is that it's only a buck and a half, or a buck and a quarter, because of my desire to make it artistically unique and satisfying. Certainly, if not for that, because of that, it would be much less. Because of my desire to produce, for lack of a better word, you know, a masterpiece, it tended to be much more expensive in terms of production and printing costs.
Okay, so with somebody of your experience in having produced several iterations and seeing the results and so forth, what would you estimate it would cost an attorney to create a brochure of reasonable proportions, reasonable quality, that would be effective in obtaining either referral sources or at clients themselves?
I think 60 to 75 cents really is more than adequate to have a nice paper, to retain a nice graphic designer, and to present a nice piece.
And when you attract a graphics designer, is that a fixed fee project, or is that by time?
It usually is. However,
anybody dealing with you knows it has to be by time.
Exactly. It starts as a flat fee, and they go, "Oh my God, I never imagined it was going to go on like this." So yeah, but it starts as a fixed fee, correct?
And of course, everything else is fixed fee, printing,
correct,
and so on and so forth.
Correct.
So you really know what it's going to cost before you ever say yes, let's go forward.
Well, again, it's sort of like doing a remodel on the house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with one price, and God only knows.
And when you have the thousands and thousands and thousands of these brochures, of course, you don't have to do that, because with print-on-demand technology today, you could print only one and still have the same cost. My question is, when you start handing these out to people, are you thinking about the cost, or you've put that all behind you and you're just thinking about what effect this will have?
That's a great question. God, I hate it when people say that's a great question. Can I take that back? The only time I do not think about it when I pass them out, I don't think about them when they're being distributed, but it is funny. When at the end of a presentation and I see a couple sitting around on the tables unattended, I do think about the cost, which is because to me that's like wasted money. So at that point, it does sort of give me that little twinge.
Well, I hear you. I know that in some of our groups, I've given out one of my books that I've written, and each one of those books have cost me, something like $6 a piece at the lowest price. And when I see, as you say, some those books that have not been taken by their owners, so to speak,
right,
I go around and I pick them up and
definitely,
I'll use them again.
it's hard to try to do that and at the same time looking over your shoulder so people don't quite see what you're doing.
Well, I haven't been that embarrassed.
I see, okay.
Maybe a book is different than a brochure, I'm not sure. But the cost is almost the same, I think. Well, Larry, I want to thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure for me to have this conversation, and I hope for our listeners a tremendous learning experience.
Well, thank you again for inviting me.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. You can read more about this and other topics from the business of law at www.lawbizblog.com, or start your own discussion about this topic at www.lawbizforum.com. Join today. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz Podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.